People do a lot of crazy things in the name of love. One young man told me that when he was a senior in high school, he asked his girlfriend to prom, and he arranged with his dad, who traveled quite a bit, to use their airplane mileage, and he picked her up in a limousine, took her to the airport. They flew from Denver to Seattle, had dinner at the Space Needle, and flew back in time for the dance. I thought, nobody does that. That's just absolutely insane. The girl became his wife. I knew a guy that when he was dating his now wife, she was going to a community college, and every day he would drive 5 miles out of his way, and he would go to this community college and drive up and down the parking lot until he found his car, or her car, so that he could leave a note on her window. That was absolutely crazy. People do a lot of crazy things in the name of love. And it doesn't stop there. They eventually, these crazy guys, go out and buy a little teeny, teeny stone. And they're supposed to pay 2 or 3 months of their salary for this little teeny rock to propose. I know some guys that have gotten together the last couple of weekends, breaking their backs, out here digging holes for a greenhouse. I watched these guys working, and yes, I was one of them. But by the time we hit 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning, we're starting at 8. It's only 2 hours. The guys are, I can't walk. My back is so sore. Can we just quit? But you know what? Because of their love for people in need, they make that sacrifice. It's crazy. The guys who are out here working on the greenhouse, none of them has said, I can't wait for you to harvest something here so I can get an extra tomato. One of them actually offered me zucchini yesterday. I said, really? Actually, it wasn't them. It was somebody else who has worked. But they did offer me a zucchini. It was that big. That's about 2.5 feet of zucchini. I'm home alone this week. I don't like zucchini on the best of days, much less when my wife isn't there to help me eat it. People do crazy things in the name of love because it's not insanity. It's love. And the story we're going to read today is about a person who does something crazy in the name of love. The text is found in John chapter 12. I'm sure that was a surprise to those of you who have been following along with us, because 12 follows 11, and we were in 11 last week. John chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." This is the word of the Lord. What we read in this text is an incredible example of extravagant love. Here is this woman who gives Jesus this incredible gift and teaches us about extravagant love. First, we note that extravagant love is precious to us. Somehow, Mary had been able to get a pound of perfume. And the text actually tells us how valuable it was. It says that it was worth about 300 days of wages. Now, just to put that in perspective, if you tithe, and I hope you do, if you tithe, you give 10% of your earnings. In order for you to show the same amount of gift to God, to give 300 days of wages, you would have to tithe every week for 62 weeks. Or, if you didn't want to be that disciplined, you could just make a one-time gift equal to 1.25 times your annual salary. If you make the minimum wage in the state of Colorado, that would be someplace in the neighborhood of $20,000. And by the way, only about 3% of the population of the United States makes the minimum wage. Almost everybody makes more than minimum wage. I guess in one sense, that means that if we raise the minimum wage, we do that 3% a favor. Most of us make more than minimum wage. So if we were going to give something equivalent to what this lady gave, we would have to give considerably more than just $20,000 in order to equal the extravagant love that was shown by Mary. Extravagant love for our Lord is precious to us. It is something which costs us something. Years ago, my parents used to buy fruit cocktail. I don't even know if they sell that stuff anymore, but you know, it's all these fruits that don't really taste that much like fruit, that are steeped in heavy sugary syrup. The best thing about it was a syrup. But anyway, we would get this fruit cocktail. And whenever we did, we'd have a dish of fruit cocktail for each person, and my mom would always take out the grapes. She didn't like fruit cocktail grapes, and she gave them as a precious gift to my little sister. And that was really cool, until one day, my mom made the mistake of saying, "You want these grapes? I hate these grapes." It cost her nothing to give away the grapes. It's kind of like some people in this room that will give you their blueberries. They don't like blueberries. You like blueberries? I know who you should eat next to. They'll give you blueberries because it doesn't cost them anything. Extravagant love says, "I absolutely love strawberries. Would you like mine?" Over this week, my son and I have been, we're home alone. And so that means I have to cook, and I'm really good at grilling. And I just did a mental calculation that we could go to one of our favorite restaurants, Los Hubertos, and we could have a half order super fries each, and the bill comes to about $15. Or we could go to Sam's Club, and we could buy six steaks. Well, actually, we could buy two big steaks we can cut in half. We can get two meals for less than we would spend at Los Hubertos. I know how to grill. And so I'm cutting these, we do the, and then at the end, I look over at my son, who, you know, Aunt Matthew, he's, you know, growing like a weed, and he's finished his steak before I have. And I've got this wonderful steak, and I looked at him and I thought, I'll bet he's still hungry. He's always hungry. Extravagant love caused me to take my steak and give it to him. It's not insanity. It's love. It's something which is precious to us that we do in order to honor and show our love to someone else. An offering which honors the Lord must first of all be something dear to us. It's not insanity. It's love. The second note, extravagant love is also pleasing to others. The text tells us that the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now, we'll get to those people who don't like perfume in a minute. And if you don't like perfume, this is not meant as an insult to you, but it's going to lead us someplace. But here's the scenario, is that Mary takes this nard and anoints Jesus. And she wipes the extra off with her hair. It's an amazing picture. And as she does that, everyone there knows that something significant has happened. Oh, but there might have been some mother there who thought, who broke a jar? But they could all smell this beautiful smell of perfume, which, as long as it's not too overpowering, is pretty nice. Picture the scene as Philip Keller describes it. The delicious fragrance ran down over his shining hair. It enfolded his body with its delightful aroma. Even his tunic and flowing undergarment were drenched with its enduring pungency. Whenever he moved during the ensuing days, the perfume would go with him into the Passover, into the Garden of Gethsemane, into Herod's hall, into Pilate's patio, even into the cruel hands of those who cast lots for his clothing. There was the aroma of this precious gift that was pleasant to everyone who smelled it. That's the way it is with extravagant love. When I heard the story of that trip to the Seattle Space Needle, I thought, that is so incredibly cool. That was just awesome. When people tell me about how they proposed, I usually think, that's pretty cool. When my wife ever tells you how I propose, I guess it was cool, I got the woman, but it was kind of lame. Yeah. But when people hear the story, it's a pleasant aroma. Here's the story. I'm dating her, and I'm thinking we might get married. And one day, they said, let's go downtown, and we're walking along, and I say, hey, let's stop at a jewelry store. We're looking at these rings, and there's one that she likes, and I put money down on it. I haven't asked her to marry me yet. So that afternoon, we're out for a walk, and she says, I don't get it. You just put money down on a ring in front of me, and you haven't asked me to marry you. And literally, I took out of my pocket a 3x5 card with 9 reasons why I couldn't ask her to marry me right now. I'm reading through these reasons, and I get to number 8, and I say, ah, forget it. Will you marry me? Doesn't it make you happy? Extravagant love is pleasant to others. But the story does introduce a problem, because there are some people here in this story who don't get it, because extravagant love is perplexing to some. Judas, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? There was so much better I could have done. Really, you wasted miles going to Seattle? Really, you spent that much money on a little stone? She would have been happy with a dollar bill made into a ring. Okay, maybe not, but there are some people just don't get it. You have friends that don't get it that you came to church this morning. Why did you come and sing the songs you sang? Why are you doing what you give up 10% of your income? What kind of an idiot are you? Why, you're insane. It's not insanity, it's love. Judas isn't the only person who might have said, why on earth did you waste $20,000 on perfume? There's an awful lot we could do with $20,000. Why would you give up that? What do you get in return for it? You see, extravagant love is perplexing to many people. The people who have not connected with Christ, they just sort of look at us with this quizzical look, and they say, okay, I guess, if it works for you. Extravagant love is precious to us. I had one person tell me that they were looking for a new car, and they came to the realization that the cost of their new car was roughly equivalent to their tithe. That's an interesting quandary, isn't it? See, the person who doesn't have extravagant love says, I'm going to get myself a car. I don't care about the tithe. But a person with extravagant love says, I will do it because I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And throughout your life, if you are faithful in giving extravagant love to God, there will be times when people will say to you, you're insane. And then you say this, it's not insanity, it's love. And here's the cool conclusion of this. Extravagant love is pleasing to Christ. The only voice in favor of what Mary did that night was the only one that really mattered. The anointing of Jesus is recorded in Matthew also. And at the end of the text in Matthew 26:10, Jesus says, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. Wow. It doesn't really matter whether anybody else liked the fact that I had a list of reasons why I couldn't ask Michelle to marry me. She looks back on it and in that moment of where I put aside all logic, overcome with just love, and say, I want you for the rest of my life. And she said, I'll think about it. No. She said yes. You know, the other Gospels tell us that this dinner took place in the home of Simon the leper, whom Jesus healed. Which brings an interesting thought to me as I often read the text and I try to flesh out what it was like to be there and more importantly, what does God want me to say on a Sunday morning? And I thought about these two guys at this dinner. Simon the leper no more, and Lazarus the dead no more. These two guys who have been the recipients of God's incredible healing. And I imagine them sitting there at the table just, you know, sharing notes. Simon says, hey man, I had leprosy. You know, nobody would touch me. I was an outcast. And then he came along and he loved me. And he healed me. And Lazarus says, yeah, I can one up that. I was dead. I was dead man walking. His nickname, right? We talked about that last week. By the way, have you done any more study on what you think God would call you if he had a nickname? I wouldn't mind hearing what you think God would call you if he chose a nickname for you. It's a difficult task, I know. But remember, he's not going to call you something stupid. He's not going to call you insane. He's going to say something nice about you. Anyway, you got Simon the leper and Lazarus the resurrected sitting at dinner talking about how Jesus had given them so much. Imagine the love those two guys felt for Jesus. The sense of awe. The sense of overwhelming compassion that the King of Kings would pay attention to them. And then Mary breaks open that nard, and everyone sees her do this incredibly precious thing. It's pleasing to many, perplexing to some, and extremely pleasing to Christ. Here's the thing. Nothing that you give to God will ever go unnoticed by Him. Some people cynically think that no good deed goes unpunished. But this is what the Bible says. Hebrews 6:10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. And if we do things the least of these, we do it for Christ. He will not forget your work. Some people wonder if it's worth it to build a greenhouse or mow the lawn, or if it's worth it to serve at Homeward Bound or the soup kitchen. If it's worth it to visit the sick, to call on those who are in need of a Savior. They wonder if it's worth it to teach Sunday school and to take your kids to Sunday school. The answer is yes. It's not insanity, it's love which causes us to do those things which are so foreign to the world. It's not insanity, it is love which causes us to do the things which give up those things which are precious to us, whether it is our time or our resources or our energy. That's not insanity, it's called love. And when we watch somebody else do those extravagant things, we recognize it's not insanity, it is love. And when there are people who are perplexed by what we do and they can't seem to understand why it is that we went that extra mile, why it is we gave up time on a Sunday morning, why it is that we came to church and mowed on a Saturday afternoon, why it is that we will fill in the blank with your acts of service, we need to remind them it's not insanity, it's love. Because we love our Lord Jesus as much as Lazarus and as much as Simon and as much as Mary. Because He has paid for our sins. And all that we have done against Him, and while we are still fighting against Him, He died for us. That we who believe in Him might receive eternal life. And when we give extravagant love to Jesus, He is pleased. Amen.